Yeah. This time last year, we were here again. And I remember that I was sharing with you something of my journey that Gordy and I had been on, following the end of one season. We'd been leading a church plant, and our leadership of that had come to an end, and we were in a new season. And for me, it was proving very, very strange, and I was having difficulty in understanding where God was leading us next, what he was wanting us to do with our ministry. We weren't members of a church at the time, and for me, that was just so weird, because I had never not been a member of a church since I've become a Christian. So it was a very, very strange time for me. And it carried on that way for some months. And then earlier this year, God started to talk to me about this thing that I want to share with you. But I realised that he had actually been speaking to me about it for several months, and he was just joining up the dots. I can be a bit slow on the uptake sometimes, but I do get there eventually. But the thing that's kicked this off for me was a couple of verses that God had spoken to us during prayer time with some friends. And the verse that he gave us was from Isaiah 43. So Isaiah 43, verses 19 and 20. And he says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" At the time, I didn't. "I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people." And I started to look at what God says in his scriptures about rivers in the desert, and about, he says a lot about the river of God. And I'm going to read to you a passage out of Ezekiel 47. It's probably quite well known to you, but it gives us an amazing picture of God's river. So this is Ezekiel having a vision, and an angel. Ezekiel says that this angel brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces towards the east, and behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees, on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the Arabah, and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. And for me, that is just such an amazing picture. This river that increases and increases from a trickle to something that is too deep to swim through, but that brings life wherever it goes. There's trees on the riverbank, there's fish in the river. And it's a picture of such glorious life. And I just, you know, that the river of God brings life wherever it goes. It makes the land fertile. It brings abundance. And then if you look in Revelation 22, right at the end of the Bible, the first couple of verses there echo this picture. And John, in his vision, says, "The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. And also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." The river of the waters of life flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, bringing healing and abundance with the fruit from all these trees. And as I was looking at what God says in the scriptures about his river, this whole thing, it became to me a symbol of God's presence. A symbol of his life and his spirit. So going back to that verse that had kicked it all off for me, "I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people." And what God was saying to me through that was, he was telling me that he is going to make rivers in the desert. Whatever the circumstances of my life are like, he will make a way for me to know his presence and to know that he is with me, regardless of whatever else is going on. In our lives, we're all aware of seasons. You know, sometimes things are going really smoothly. Everything's really nice. And we're walking in the blessings of God. And then in other seasons of our lives, it can feel like a wilderness. That, you know, things feel just dry. It's hard to travel through. You know, and we wonder where all the resources are to meet our needs. But God says that he will make rivers in the desert. There's another passage in Isaiah 41. In verses 17 and 18. That says, "When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water." What scripture is that? Isaiah 41, 17 and 18. So God was giving me that encouragement again, that whatever life feels like, he will provide water. He will provide rivers. And there's a couple of psalms where that echo this. That Psalm 107:35 says, he turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And Psalm 114:8 says, who turns the rock into a pool of water and the flint into a spring of water. And I know that, reading these psalms, the psalmist that wrote them, they were remembering that time when thousands of years before the Israelites were on their 40-year journey through the wilderness, before they came into the promised land. And there were two instances there where there didn't seem to be any water wherever they were. There was no water. And God told Moses how to bring water out of the rocks when the Israelites had nothing to drink. You can read about them in Exodus 17 and Numbers 20. And that's a whole other sermon in itself, that story. But like Isaiah says later on, he says, they did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock and the water gushed out. And I was meditating on these promises that God gives. And I was reminded about when Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. And I am sure he was thirsty. He must have been thirsty. But I am sure too that he must have remembered promises like this that God had put into his scriptures. He must have remembered those stories when he was walking through the desert and through the rocks. And I wondered, it says in Mark's account of that the angels ministered to him. So I, in my imagination, I was wondering, well, did those angels bring water out of the rocks? Just so that Jesus had something to eat, to drink. Did they lead him to springs? I am sure that he relied on scriptures and on those promises of scriptures to get him through that time that he spent in the wilderness. And these promises that God gives about making rivers in the desert and providing water for his people in a time where I didn't know what was happening or where we were going, they provided real encouragement to me. I felt that Father God was telling me that no matter how much I felt like I was in a desert or a wilderness, and no matter how dry and rocky and flinty the land appears, that's my circumstances, no matter how rough it was feeling, Father God was reminding me that he is able to do what seems impossible, and he can bring life and sustenance and resources out of seemingly nothing, or out of something that we think is actually incapable of producing it. Yes. Father God was reminding me that he is the one who has promised to be my provider, and that he is faithful, and that he will do what he says he'll do. Water is one of the most basic of human needs. And both of those passages in Isaiah that I've already read refers to this. Father God says, I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. And he says, when the poor and needy seek water, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will answer them. And then he goes on to talk about rivers on the heights and fountains and pools and springs. So he may be speaking about our physical needs at this point. But I believe that when he's talking about the river, he's also talking about his presence meeting our deep spiritual needs. And you often find that when the Bible is speaking about thirst and about being thirsty, it's not just talking about spiritual, physical thirst. David, when he was in the wilderness, he wrote, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. He was in the wilderness and he was aware of the lack of water there, but what it was stirring up in him was his thirst for his God. And Jesus talked about thirst, being thirsty, when he talked with the Samaritan woman at the well. He told her that whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is the one, the only one who can meet our spiritual needs. As I was looking through these promises that God gives me about rivers in the desert, I found that they speak of far more than meeting just basic needs, whether that's physical or spiritual. Isaiah 41:18 speaks of rivers and fountains and pools and springs. And I started to look at those words and find I wanted to find what God was saying through them. And I looked at the Hebrew original of these words. You can correct me if I really get things wrong, but the word for river, the Hebrew word for river, Nahar, it's a word that's used for a river like the Jordan that flows continually, all the time. It doesn't dry up and disappear in dry seasons. And the river, used like this, it's a river, it's a symbol or an image of abundance and prosperity. Isaiah's got a couple of verses where he talks about shalom like a river, peace like a river. That's just so much more than just peace being the absence of conflict or noise. You know, it's shalom like a river. Abundance, prosperity, well-being, like a river that flows continually. Then fountains. Fountains are used metaphorically to give you a picture of joy. Great joy, pleasure, delight. One of the writers of the psalm says, "All my fountains are in you. All my fountains are in you." Joy and delight. And then there's the pools. Pools of water in the desert. To me, that gave a picture of still, quiet waters where he restores our soul. Still waters. And then there's springs. And the Hebrew word for springs, something like Matzah, I don't know quite how to pronounce it, but it's an amazing word because it means more than just a source or spring of water. It also means a place of going forth, a way out or an exit. It means a place of departure or a gate. So, as I looked at these words and what God was speaking to me through them, I realized that this river and the water that God provides for me in the wilderness, this is my source of abundance and prosperity and peace and well-being, as well as being my source of great joy and delight and pleasure and a place where I can find restoration for my soul. It's also the place of departure. It's my way out of the wilderness or of my desert circumstances. And it's my gate into purpose and fruitfulness. This is the river that God has given me. This is the river that he has for all of us. He is our river. And his invitation to me was to wade out into the river until it's too deep to stand and let it carry me along, taking me in the direction that he wants me to go. The problem I had was that I had a lack of direction. I didn't know where we were meant to be going. And it felt like I walked off my map. But as he invited me into the river, it was like he was giving me a whole new map. And all I had to do was to surrender to the river and live in dependence upon him. And the river becomes my roadmap. That was the challenge to me. Because it means living at a greater level of surrender and dependence upon him. Jesus talked about rivers in John chapter 7. I'm sure it's a scripture that you're familiar with. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were yet to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the river is within me. It's within you. if we believe in him, then his Holy Spirit, his presence, his life is within us. And this source of his life, this is what will flow to meet the deepest longings and the deepest needs of our hearts and our souls. Jesus said, out of his heart, that's where it flows from, out of our hearts, the river flows. Ezekiel's vision described the river flowing from the temple. John's vision described the river flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And Paul tells us in Corinthians that we, both individually and collectively as church, we are the temple. Our heart is where we enthrone Jesus. So the river flows from the temple where the Lord's throne is. That's us. And sometimes I know I felt that the river within me is little more than a trickle. But as we come together, as we have done today, and worship, the river can flow with increasing depth and power. And I believe that when the church as a whole becomes the glorious bride that God created us all to be, then the river will bring life to the world, just like those pictures we had in Ezekiel and in Revelation. That's when the river will flow in full power. So the river flows from the temple where the Lord's throne is. Our hearts. That's where we enthrone the Lord in our life. So the challenge that God gave me as well was, well, how do I stay in the river? How do you stay in the river? I keep Jesus on the throne of my life. Really quite simple, and I live in ever increasing surrender to him and dependency upon him, and that's a challenge. Surrender is always a challenge. Life in the river, it's become for me a picture of living in union with Jesus. But if we're going to be one with the river, it's not something that we can jump in and out of. It's not something where we can just try and swim in and try and make our own way in. Sharon shared with me something that a Benedictine monk told her on her walk on the Camino, that it rang bells with me, because he said that it's not about swimming in the river, but instead it's surrendering or abandoning ourselves to the river's depths. So let ourselves just be submerged in it. This union that we have with Jesus, it's something that we have to abandon ourselves to. It's so easy to just struggle, try to make our own way, do our own thing. But when we come to that place of surrender, when we come to that place of just being abandoned to Him, then union with Him and being carried along in the river, in its power, it becomes easier, it becomes more natural, it becomes rest for our souls. When we just rest in the river and let it take us along. And I felt that as I was looking at these verses and just meditating on this whole picture of being in the river, I felt there were a couple of things that Father God showed me. And first was that it is a river that we're in, it's not a canal. Canals generally won't flood because the water levels are managed. But a river can flood and overflow its banks. And when that happens, it can even change its course. A river can change its course. But a canal's course has been determined and set and built by man, and it will never change. But when a river overflows and floods, yeah, things can get really messy. But it can bring nutrients to the land. The land can become really fertile because of what the river feeds it with. So if we surrender ourselves to the river of His presence, to the river of His life, there may be times when things will get unpredictable or messy. But we'll always be moving forward. And life will be fruitful. And Father God also reminded me of when Gordy and I visited Niagara Falls. This was quite a lot of years ago. But if you've been to Niagara or anywhere where there's a huge body of water like that moving, it's possible to stand on the sidewalk and just look over the wall and the river is right there going over the edge. And it is really quite scary to see that amount of water moving so fast. And you get such a picture of the power of water. And you realise that there is power in water, power in a river to sweep obstacles, huge rocks and boulders, right out of the way. Or else it's going so fast it will just carry you over them. If it's deep enough, you'll just be carried over them. And for me, that was such an encouragement to think that, you know, it's already in God's heart, in His mind, to deal with the obstacles that come up in life for us. He's got the power to move them or to just take us right over the top. So, I've got some questions for you. Do you feel that your circumstances at the moment are like being in a desert or a wilderness? If so, what do you need the Lord to be for you right now? Do you need a pool? Some still water that you can rest by so that He can restore your soul? Or do you need a fountain? Fountains in weather like we've been having here always attract people. and they just jump in and start playing in them. So do you need a fountain, something that you can play in and splash around so that he can restore your joy? Do you need a spring, a source of life that will never run dry and that you can be confident will always supply all that you need, all the resources you need? Or do you need a river to carry you along, to give you direction, and to sweep obstacles out of the way, or to carry you over them? God is asking, who do you need me to be for you today? What do you need me to do for you today? Or are you thirsty? Is your soul longing for something more, but you've tried everything? And so far nothing has brought you the satisfaction that you're looking for. I mean, when you're thirsty and it's hot, there is nothing like cold water to bring satisfaction to your body. Jesus invites us. He says, come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. Are you hearing Father God's invitation to come deeper into the river? If you are, I would recommend that you just jump in. Don't hesitate. But are you willing to accept the challenge to surrender yourself to him in greater dependency? To abandon yourself to the river's flow and power? Life in a river is a picture of a life surrendered to Jesus. The river flows from his throne. The river is full of life. The river is in us. It's the Holy Spirit's life and work in us. And Jesus invites us into the river. And he invites us to come to him and drink. And if you feel that God is inviting you this morning to come in deeper, then I would urge you to make a response. Show him that you are willing to accept that challenge of greater surrender and dependency. For me, it's been life. It has been life to me to see what the river is all about and what God provides for us in the river. It has taken me out of the wilderness into a place of life and growth and fruit and just enjoying more of his presence. So if you've been in that wilderness time, that we all get to at times in our lives, and you want to know more of what God has for you in the river, more of his water of life to quench your thirst, to bring satisfaction to the depths of your soul, then I would encourage you to make a response. I'd like to pray for you. But it's up to you. Take that jump. Jump in and just let the river bring you along in its flow and in its power. And just rest and surrender to Him. He's got more life for all of us. More life for all of us.